Welcome to Scripture Verse by Verse. My name is Michael Moret, and we are in Genesis chapter 5, beginning our study today in verse 1. And this is our sixth study in the book of Genesis. And Father, we ask that you would add your blessings to the word that we are about to study. In Jesus' name, amen. Genesis chapter 5, verse 1. This is the book of the genealogy of Adam. In the day that God created man, he made him in the likeness of God. God created man in his image. That means, like God, man was sinless, and he was intelligent, and he was a free-willed moral being. Verse 2. He created them male and female, and blessed them, and called them mankind in the day they were created. Now, the next time someone says that it is unfair to women to call the human race mankind, you know, some of the radicals out there, they get all shook up about stuff like that, or to refer to us as man, well, you know, next time somebody says that to me, I think I'm going to just tell them to take it up with God. And because he's the one that invented the term. God is the one who named the human race man. It's not a dig on women. Not at all. Verse 3. And Adam lived 130 years and begot a son in his own likeness after his image and named him Seth. I wanted to read verse 3 to point out that Adam and Eve had a son in their own likeness, after their image. And again, we see the principle that things create after their own kind. And Adam and Eve were sinners. When Eve gave birth to Seth, and so that is what Seth is as well. Like the rest of us who come from Adam, we have been born with a sin nature. And so Adam and Eve have passed that on to us. Now I want to skip all the way down to verse 21 because, you know, the names and all these things are important and you might want to read those on your own. In fact, I would encourage you to read the list. It just tells you what their names were in this genealogy and how long they lived. But I don't want to spend the time doing that. I want to skip down to verse 21 because there's something interesting that happens here. In verse 21 it says, Enoch lived 65 years and begot Methuselah. Now, Enoch pretty much did his own thing for the first 65 years of his life. But notice what happened after he became a dad. After he fathered Methuselah. Notice, verse 22. After he begot Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years and had sons and daughters. After his son was born, Enoch evidently grew up himself. Sometimes people don't straighten out and settle down until they have the responsibility of raising a child. They start getting serious about God when they realize that how they act will affect their child, and also that God is the one who entrusted them with that child, and he will hold them accountable for how they raise him or her. 23. So all the days of Enoch were 365 years, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. This was sort of a test run for the end time rapture of the church. One day Enoch and God went for a walk and they just kept walking. God took him to heaven. Evidently without even dying first. Because it doesn't say he died, it says that God took him. And it's different from every other person here in this chapter where it is said that they died. And words mean something in Scripture. They are important. Verse 25, Methuselah lived 187 years and begot Lamech. After he begot Lamech, Methuselah lived 782 years and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Methuselah were 969 years, and he died. Methuselah holds the record, by the way. He lived 969 years. Now, if you were born today and you lived 969 years, you would die in the year 2972. If you were 969 years today, 969 years old today, let's see, you would have been born in the year 1036, I think, if my math is right. 1036 you would have been born. So Methuselah, that's how long, just to give you an idea how long this man lived. And the things that he lived through, can you imagine that? Verse 28, Lamech lived 182 years and had a son. And he called his name Noah, saying, "This one will comfort us concerning our work and the toil of our hands because of the ground which the Lord had cursed." Lamech didn't know it, but God would fulfill his wish. Not in the way Lamech thought, but in God's way. Lamech had high hopes for his son Noah. He hoped that God would use him to somehow make the world a better place. Maybe give the world a fresh start. Well, that's exactly what's going to happen. 30. After he begot Noah, Lamech lived 595 years and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Lamech were 770 years, and he died. And Noah was 500 years old, and Noah begot Shem, Ham, and Japheth. One out of these three boys of Noah is your great-great-grandfather times about 150. All of us have descended from these three boys of Noah. One of these three boys of Noah, anyway. Chapter 6. Now it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born to them, and so the population of the world continued to grow. Sin had spread through the angelic realm by now, turning the angels who rebelled into demons, and sin was spreading like a virus, creating all sorts of problems for the human race as well. I want to read verse 1 and then verse 2. Now it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born to them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were beautiful, and they took wives for themselves of all whom they chose. According to Scripture, good angels sometimes appear on earth in the form of men. These sons of God, here in verse 2, are fallen angels on earth, appearing in the form of men. They came to earth, it seems, on a mission from the devil to stop the Savior who God promised would crush the devil's head. See, the devil was trying to make it impossible for a human Savior to be born. Demons in some sort of a human body cohabitated with women, and the result was trouble. And the result was corruption. Verse 3. And the Lord said, "My spirit shall not strive with man forever, for he is indeed flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years." The human race had really taken a turn for the worse because of all that demonic activity. As a result, God said that his spirit would not strive with man forever. God would not put up with this sinful madness forever. He was giving the world 120 years, and then judgment would hit. 4. There were giants on the earth in those days, and also afterwards, when the sons of God came into the daughters of men, and they bore children to them, those were the mighty men of old, were of old, men of renown. And so the Nephilim, which is the way some translations translate these people in this verse, verse 4, the Nephilim were giant demigods, not as powerful as Almighty God, but to any human, they would appear to be like gods. They were very powerful and very evil and they were very unnatural, unnatural offspring of demons and mortal women. Notice verse 4 again. There were giants. There were giants in the earth in those days. And also afterwards when the sons of God came into the daughters of men and they bore children to them, those who were the mighty men who were of old, men of renown. They were giants, Nephilim, fallen ones, mighty ones. Satan wanted to corrupt the human race physically, just as he already had done spiritually. If he can corrupt the human race and change it into a half-breed, half-human, half-demonic race of creatures, he's got it made. That's because God's promise of a human redeemer would fail. Mary and everyone else would be one of these half-breeds, theoretically, which means that there wouldn't be a woman anywhere who could give birth to Christ and give him his human nature. You say, well, I don't get it. Well, it's very important. Hebrews 2:17. Listen to what the Bible says. I'm going to turn there right now. I wasn't going to, but I'm going to, because it's extremely important in your understanding of why Satan was doing what he was doing here. Hebrews 2:17. Therefore, in all things, he, that is Jesus, had to be made like his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation or satisfaction for the sins of the people. So you see, what that is saying is that unless Jesus is 100% pure man, it is impossible for him to pay for the sins of man. Satan's pretty smart, isn't he? There's just one thing. God is smarter. Verse 5. Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And some may wonder why God wiped out the whole world with a flood. Well, I'll tell you what. He could not have been more patient. He waited until it got to be so bad that it was all bad. If people were not doing sin, they were planning sin, and it was all the time. Verse 6. And the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. The sin of man didn't just anger God, it hurt God. Verse 7. So the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping thing and birds of the air, for I am sorry that I have made them. God is holy. He must react to sin. He must destroy evil, because he is holy. Not only that, he was just sick of it all. All people cared about was cramming as much sin into their lives as they possibly could. And God put up with it long enough. Verse 8, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah didn't earn favor. He didn't work for a favor. He found it. He found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Compared to the rest of the world, Noah was godly. But he was still a sinner. He was still worthy of death. But because of his faith in God and his desire to do right, God will show him favor and spare him from the judgment that is about to come. And we're going to look at that next time. Until next time, Michael Murat here. So long, everyone.